Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Today we're going to continue our conversation about issues in the workplace with a discussion about incivility, rudeness.
Rudeness in the workplace.
Rudeness, disrespectful,
right.
Insensitive behavior in the workplace.
It is generally agreed that workplace incivility is increasing.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Or real good data, but lots of anecdotal evidence.
Right.
That workplaces are getting ruder.
Right.
In what ways?
A variety of ways.
Yeah, one of them is fubbing. You know what I discovered?
What's that?
We did a podcast on fubbing
recently.
Mm-hmm. And I've been asking people, talking about it, and people have not heard of fubbing.
Right.
I was so proud that I knew a techno word that a lot of people, no, I've never heard of that. What is it? And I thought, I'm the techno.
Let me tell you.
I'm the techno.
What I know about fubbing.
Right. Anyway, fubbing is one of the reasons why workplaces are getting ruder. Mm-hmm. People are using their phones during meetings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going through their you can see that they're going through emails and doing other things during meetings. So one of the reasons is our technical devices. Instead of paying attention to what's going on, we're on our technical devices. That's rude.
Mm-hmm.
Considered rude. I'm glad to know that that's considered rude. I argue with a lot of people that they argue that it's not rude. They're multitasking, that they can do two things at one time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Second?
So, well, let's do this.
Okay, we'll do it your way.
Do it. Not to be rude.
Oh.
But.
Speaking of rudeness in the workplace.
We're going to be talking about some information from this article or blog written by Michelle McQuaid from Psychology Today.
Right.
And it's called, Why Are Our Workplaces Getting Ruder?
Right.
Incivility costs us personally and professionally. How can we deal with it?
Mm-hmm.
And she's talking here about some of the work by an author, Christine Porath. And she's an associate professor at Georgetown University. And McQuaid recently interviewed Porath. Mm-hmm. And so this is some of the information from that interview. And
what's I was going to get to that.
I know you were. I know you were.
Okay.
But what's really nice about this is that that McQuaid kind of synthesizes this information in a nice, easy to read type of way.
That's right.
And really presents some striking information, evidence, data to support the idea that incivility is on the rise and some of the consequences of that incivility.
Right.
For example, in one of the studies that she talked to Christine Porath about is a survey study that they did of 800 managers and employees across 17 different industries.
Mm-hmm.
And the data is pretty profound.
Yeah.
So 48% of people surveyed who said that there was some incivility in their workplace.
Right.
48% of them said that they intentionally decreased their work effort.
Of course. Who wouldn't?
That's, you know, we see that sort of, we see that behavior sort of as a caricature on TV and in movies and things like that. But to hear that almost half of all people in these work environments who experience some incivility actually did that, actually admit to doing that, well, that's pretty profound.
Right. Yep.
So 48% intentionally decreased their work effort, 80% lost time worrying about it, and 66% said that their performance declined.
Right.
So those numbers are just huge, massive.
Yeah, and I like the part that 25% took it out on their customers.
Right.
You know, that's always good.
Yeah.
You know, but something has to happen when people feel diminished by their coworkers or by their boss. You know, we're talking about coworkers that you have some relationship with. When that becomes rude, when that becomes troublesome to us emotionally. 25% and 12% left.
Yeah,
I mean, they actually
quit their job altogether.
That's 1 out of 10, more than 1 out of 10
mm-hmm.
will just leave, and that's a pretty high attrition rate
mm-hmm.
For that associated with workplace incivility.
Right.
So, yeah, these are troublesome stats.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's important that we talk about this because.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certainly we are in a culture and climate now
right.
where these issues are going to continue, and not only are they going to continue, but they're going to sort of perpetuate
right.
Some of the issues. And you know, the more incivil we are, the more people are going to act and respond to that, and
right.
that, you know, of
right.
course is going to lead to more incivility,
right.
and so it's just going to compound on itself.
Right. At the beginning. We talked about the data, how prevalent is this?
Mm-hmm.
And in this study, 95% right. of people said they have experienced workplace
right.
incivility.
Yeah.
And I think it goes across businesses, across,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't
mm-hmm.
matter whether you're in a university setting,
right.
a hospital setting, a corporation, schools, certainly,
right.
teachers
yeah.
experience it. So I think it goes across workplace settings, and it's at a rate of about 95%. And more than half, about 56%, say
yeah.
they experience incivility at least weekly.
Right.
You know? And so it takes an enormous toll on motivation.
Mm-hmm.
People,
mm-hmm.
This one figure about they intentionally
mm-hmm.
do less.
Right, right.
You know, which is problematic.
Right.
It leads to less engagement.
Right.
And it also leads to damaged relationships.
Right,
you know,
right.
That people are trying to live with. So...
Well, and I think that an important quote that they have
right.
in here is that most of the time, incivility stems from people with greater
right.
power status, which means most of us are probably going to be unsuccessful at trying to report it, fight it, or change the other person's behavior.
That's right. And that's the other problem with workplace incivility, that usually it comes from your superiors down.
Right.
It's much easier to deal with it with coworkers. You know,
right.
Equal line
right,
coworkers.
Right.
The problem is that most of it comes from
mm-hmm.
your supervisor, and you can do little about it.
Right.
I mean, we're watching this whole phenomenon of sexual harassment playing
right.
itself out in
right.
the news today. And my daughter and I were having a discussion about that. My adult daughter and I were having a discussion about that. And
both of your daughters are adults now.
Well,
just saying.
My older daughter. Who's 22, and I were having a discussion. She's very thoughtful about this
mm-hmm.
as a woman, as
sure.
a with a career.
Right,
she's very mindful of this and of her status.
Mm-hmm.
She's a new employee. She's very mindful of these things, and we talked about the power differential.
Right.
When she asked me about it, I said, "Well, the biggest issue is the power differential,
right.
and that exists everywhere." And what I liked about this interview. Is that they focused on the fact that you might not be able to do much about it.
Right.
Because you can't take it anywhere else.
Right.
Or you're going to maybe lose your job or
mm-hmm.
be pressured out of a job. So the point is that in many cases, sometimes even with coworkers, you can't do anything about
right.
it. Okay.
Right.
So given that reality,
right.
they then give us some positive suggestions
yeah.
about what you can do about it.
Yeah. So there's a few... recommendations here
mm-hmm.
that are offered. The first is to value civility. Now, that one may be the no-brainer in the list. There's always sort of the
of course
right off the top
of course.
Right. One.
You know,
and so practice you know valuing civility and that's you
right.
know just value it within yourself and so you practice civility yourself.
That's right. Don't you know, you can complain and worry about everybody else's, but it
mm-hmm.
begins by you being civil regardless of what's going on around you.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right.
You
and
do the right thing.
Yeah, the strategy or perspective that we even teach our kids, you know, you can't control somebody else. You
That's
can only
right.
control yourself. And so practicing civility yourself is a great
right.
start.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is to take control.
Right.
Now, we don't have control over everything,
mm-hmm.
but take control over the things that you have control,
That's right.
have the ability to take control of.
What can you control?
Right.
And take care of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you can, you know, if significant things happen, you can, you know, journal them and take notes about them. You can,
mm-hmm.
you know, sort of take care of and try to resolve issues or prevent issues or fix problems that you see, but you can, you know, those things that you can take control of, control of them and work on them.
Right. And that begins by doing number three, actually, is gain some clarity of what you want. What kind of person do you want to be?
Right.
And once you've clarified all that, then you can contribute to a more civil workplace environment.
Right. So number three is gaining clarity.
Right.
Number four is to build civil workplaces.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so this is a lot really for the supervisors and managers and owners of the companies. And, you know, if you see workers, if you have people who are working with you or for you who are uncivil, who are, you know, behaving problematically, you need to make sure that you address it and you build a culture of civility within your workplace.
Right. All of us have had multiple supervisors.
Right.
And we can think back of the supervisors that we appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in every case, we would say we appreciated those who were civil to us, who treated us well.
Right.
They got the most out of us. We enjoyed our job the most. And I think the issue was civility. We were treated well.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you have an environment, when you have a culture in your workplace that you like, you are more likely to be civil. You're more likely to, you know, avoid rudeness, avoid issues like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if I were to, I think it's maybe, it could be part of number four, but if I were to add another one, number five, and that is, you have to have buy-in. You know, if everybody that works in a company values the company, wants the company to be successful, because they see that for the company to be successful, that makes me successful, then you're much less likely to be uncivil. You're much less likely to have these little confrontations and issues in the workplace because, you know, 48% intentionally decrease their work. Well, so clearly, 48% do not feel committed to the company, because if they did, then they're doing themselves harm.
I always think that the 90s are recent.
Mm-hmm.
Then I remember that it's 17 years ago.
Yeah.
But I did some business consulting back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking 20 or 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Even then, when you read the business literature, it was the same message. You have to treat your employees well. They have to be. They have to buy in. They have to accept the mission. They need to be motivated.
Right.
And it's astonishing to me that 25 years later we're still having the same discussion.
Right.
And I'm sure they teach this in business schools.
Right.
But there are bosses who opt to put pressure on their employees, either to increase productivity or to reduce error rates or something. But you hear about it in every profession, that there's more and more and more pressure.
Absolutely.
And that's what we wanted to talk about this week, that even though the business manuals and the business courses teach civility, teach not to be rude, let's work on this together, that managers and workers need to work together to create a culture of civility.
Mm-hmm.
And yet here we are with 98% or 95% of people feeling that they've been treated poorly, shabbily in their work environment.
And you can see the difference in the work environments, even as a customer, because, you know, there's a local, there's a grocery store chain that started here in our area. And when you go there, you can tell that they foster a culture of civility, of, you know, by and large, this civility, people seem to really, truly enjoy working there.
Right.
As compared to, you know, some of the big box stores that, you know, each employee is just a number. They are just, you know, a person wearing a vest that's going around and doing things.
Right.
And you can see the difference in the way in which the people, employees, you know, treat the customers and treat the... You know, you can just see that the caring, how much it matters, and so civility certainly reigns in differently in those two types of environments. So building that culture of civility is really important, and that can start with you, no matter what your level is in the company,
in the organization,
whether you're, you know, one of the workers, mm-hmm. or you're one of the supervisors or an administrator or whatever your position, civility can start with you. And so it's important that you take some of these steps.
That's right. Yeah. I think it can start in our schools and universities. And
right.
Let's lead by example.
Right.
Okay.
So so definitely check out this blog post, this article, mm-hmm. and you know, learn more and bring civility to your workplace.
That's right. Don't contribute to the rudeness.
Right.
Okay. No matter what anybody else is doing, you do the right thing. And there are many things that you can't change. So get clarity on those that you can change and focus on those. You will be happier and the workplace will be better.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, all right. That's it. Before we go, just a reminder that we have launched our Patreon page. Mm-hmm. The banner art isn't up yet, but that's okay. But click on the link in the show notes. It's patreon.com/TheMentalBreakdown. Mm-hmm. And you can learn more about some of what we're doing, some more of some things about what we want to do.
Right.
And you can see, you know, if anything that you're capable of doing to help out with any of that. Mm-hmm. The goal is just to free some time for us so that we can
do more
because we have so many plans of things that we would like to be doing. We're in the process now of kind of outlining some of that so we can post it on the Patreon page so you can see some very specific things that we're going to do. And anything that we generate through the Patreon page is going to go directly into this work because, you know, it takes so much time for us to do what we do with the podcast and with some of the other educational videos and things that we have planned, mm-hmm. that we just need to get some additional support so that we can bring you good quality information and keep engaged with you. So in the meantime, or in addition, or however we want to kind of link them, you know, share our links, share us with your friends, with your enemies, I guess. It doesn't have to be a friend that you share us with. It doesn't have to be. It would be ideal. But
maybe an enemy would... your enemy is our enemy, maybe. Yeah.
Or their enemy could see it as, oh, so they're saying that
I need this. Right.
That's true. But still,
share it.
You know,
share it with anybody. Yeah, share it with anybody.
If they're your enemy, why does it matter if they're mad at you anyways?
And tell us what you think. We'd like to have your opinion about how we can make it better, because part of the Patreon page is we're going to make this better.
Yeah.
There are ideas. There are things that we want to incorporate. And your suggestions are certainly going to help.
Yeah.
So please send your suggestions and recommendations.
Absolutely.
And criticisms.
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't like my shirt, if I should start wearing a tie again, we'd love to hear about that.
I was going to comment on the tie thing, but
well,
I didn't.
I thought I would proactively.
Preemptive strike. But, you know, so yes, definitely rate us on iTunes, mm-hmm. you know, write a review. All of those things are so incredibly helpful for getting the word out about what we're trying to do here and get more people involved.
Spread the word.
All right, that is it. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.